Brother Lingerfelt leaned over to me. He said, just remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not mine. It's just the Lord. I don't scream like a baby. That's for sure. I have good reason to be freaked out. He's flipped the boat more than once. So it's not not unreasonable. Dumped all my fishing stuff in the water, and that was interesting. But I thought this was interesting. When he read in verse 7 of Psalms 91, it says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. I don't really remember all about the story, but I remember as a little boy hearing a story. I think it was a book we used to read as a family of missionaries. And the missionary was saying he was in World War II. And he was being a witness to everybody. He's like, he kept, to all his comrades and stuff, he kept like sharing the gospel. And one time this man came up to him, he said, how come you're so peaceful and you're not scared really when all these bullets are flying at us, when we're at any second we could die? And he said, because of that verse, he said that thousands will fall at thy hand and 10,000 at thy right hand. And he said, every time I get in that position, I would quote that verse, and I would say, the Lord is my refuge, my rock, and my salvation. He would just remember that. He said, and if I were to get killed, I know where I'm going. So he would tell that to all of them. And there was this one time they were in battle, and that guy, he came up next to him. He said, I'm going to stand next to you. And he said, why? He's like, because that verse you quoted, because I know that God's protecting you, and I know that there's something about you that's different. And I thought that was just really cool to see that even though we're in the battle, he can have that peace because he's got that rock and that salvation. So this last quarter, I've been taking Bible colleges here at the college, and I'm taking two classes. The first one was Brother Kirkpatrick with the New Testament survey, and the next one is with Justin Gazaway, we're doing the study of Nehemiah. And in that class, in the first chapter, in the second chapter of the Nehemiah, it was talking about how Nehemiah, he's gathered these people together, and he's looked at the wall, he knows what he has to do, and he tells them, come, let's arise, let's build this wall. And in the book that we're reading in the class, it's A Victorious Christian Service by Alan Redpath, he says this way, he compares the walls of Nehemiah to some walls that you could say they're in our life, and I thought it was so cool how he did this. I'm going to read just a little bit from the book. It was in chapter one of that book. He had just gotten done giving background to Nehemiah, explaining who Nehemiah was, a timeline, who the king was, and everything about Nehemiah. And he starts off like out of the blue with this thing, and I thought it just stuck with me ever since then. It says, there's a wall to be built around the city of your soul. There's a wall to be built, a testimony to be created around your church. There's a wall of witness and testimony to be built around the whole kingdom of God in all the world. Whether you be concerned primarily with building the wall in your own soul, or with the building of the wall of your church, or with the building of the wall of the kingdom of God throughout the whole world, you will discover that there is no winning without warfare, that there is no opportunity without oppression, there is no victory without vigilance. For whenever the people of God say, let us arise and build, Satan says, let us arise and oppose. This thought, if you want to, you can turn to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 2, and I'll be reading out of verse 17. This thought came, you could say it hit me, and I just haven't been able to get it out of my head. I've been thinking about I think it was last week, the week before we went over this, and ever since then, it's just been kind of like stuck in my head, and I can't get it out of there. And I was like, what does it mean? Walls around my life. What is walls around my soul? What does that kind of mean? It's like, so I was thinking, it was just so cool how he compared that, the walls of Nehemiah, building that to the walls around our life. So I'm going to read this verse in chapter 2, verse 17. It says, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And I was thinking, I could read that verse, so to speak, as then said I unto them, in a personal aspect, ye see the distress that you are in, how instead of Jerusalem lieth in waste, what about the walls of your life? Maybe what about your prayer life, the walls of your prayer life? How's my prayer life? Is the walls, am I building them up, or do they lie in waste? So again, this hit me. It was just like, I could put that in there, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. So I was thinking, what are some walls in my life that they could be laying in ruins right now? Because the walls in my prayer life was a big one. I don't have a prayer life like I should. I know that in Psalms 5:3 it says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer to thee, and will look up." When I pray, do I pray just because it's something I should do? Like, we should all pray, but do I pray because of that? Or do I pray because of the fact that I want to have a relationship with God, to be drawing closer to the Lord and saying, I'm going to come to you because this is the way I come to you. You've given me your word. This is how you speak to me. So I'm going to come to you on my side, and I'm going to pray. But are those walls, are they laying in ruins? How are they, am I building them up? And I was thinking another one, my personal devotion. That's not like it should be. It's pretty ruined right now. I don't have the devotion like I should. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It's we're study to show thyself approved, not unto man, but unto God himself. He's saying, how am I supposed to speak to you? Well, you can pray back to me, but how am I supposed to speak to you if you don't read your word? This is how I talk to you. We're not supposed to just read this. We're supposed to read the Bible, but the reason I read my Bible is so I can apply it to my everyday life. If I say to myself, well, I'm just going to read the Bible, and it's just going to, how am I reading it? Am I reading it because it's something, the checklist off my Christian life? Is that how I'm going to read the Bible? Am I going to read it saying, hey, God, I want to know what you said to me. I want you to tell me. I want you to give me something out of this word that I can apply today and I can share with others. Is my wall around my personal devotion, what is that like? Right. I was thinking of another one. The walls around my testimony. For a while, up until I started thinking about this, I kind of clumped my testimony and the character together. It was kind of the same thing. I've grown up being taught to work hard, be on time, and be respectful, have good character. But I was thinking, the Lord was telling me, he's like, well, that's different. My testimony, your testimony for me, what is that like? Is that lying in ruins? When I'm on my job, when I'm working, do people see me? Do they see me as a worldly, like a good worker? I'm there because I'm supposed to, or do they see me as in Christ-like testimony? I'm here because I want to, and everything that we do, we should honor and glorify God. Am I here because, what am I here for? Is my testimony lying in ruins, my Christian testimony? When people see me, who do they see, me or God? No, Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not me living. They shouldn't see Nathan Ryan standing up there working. They should see Christ who's living in me. And that hit me. How's the walls around my testimony? Well, the walls around my heart. What's that like? I mean, you could say, well, where are my desires at? Is my desires to serve the world or to serve the Lord? What is the walls? I mean, you could build a worldly wall and say, I desire to live for the world, but are you going to tear that one down? Are you going to build up one that's a Christian one? Where I'm going to desire to serve the Lord. I'm going to desire to draw closer to God. I'm going to desire in my heart as a personal individual that I'm going to serve the Lord. And it's not going to matter about my surroundings. The wall around my heart, what's that like? Lay up treasures not in, forgot to write the verse down. But it's lay up not your treasures on things in earth where moth and rust is to corrupt, but lay treasures up in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, thieves don't break into steel. For there where your heart is, there will your treasure also be. Is my heart here with the world? Is my treasures going to be here with the world that they're useless? When I die, I can't take anything back from the world. Or is it going to be over here with my desire, my heart? Is it going to be with the Lord? Is it going to be storing up treasures where moth and rust don't break in and thieves don't break in and steal? What about the walls around my heart? I was thinking, how are those lying? I was thinking, the walls around my thoughts. Am I thinking, oh, what am I going to do today? Am I going to wake up? Am I going to think, okay, God, help me to think about you today and everything that I do. Help me to be a testimony. Help me to pray, read my Bible. Help me to have personal devotions. The walls around my heart, my testimony, my thoughts. What am I thinking about? Am I thinking about God, or am I thinking about what I'm going to do later today? My thoughts. What about the thoughts around your, what about the walls around your heart? I mean, your thoughts. Where are they at? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We shouldn't have thoughts that don't honor and glorify God. There's nothing wrong with thinking, oh, I'm going to go fishing today, or I'm going to go do this, but is it your thoughts, is it going to be putting the Lord into that, saying, I'm going to go, and while I'm out there, I could be praying, I could be reading, I could be fellowshipping with somebody. Yeah. You can turn everything you do into Christ's focus. And what about your thoughts? Each and every one of us have walls around our lives, and there's multiple sections of the wall, so to speak, that each one, like I've just mentioned, there's more to it than just that. Those are just some of the ones that the Lord's laid on my heart. Maybe you've thought about some while I've been talking. What are the walls in my life? What are they laying like? Are they in ruins? Or am I trying to build them up? Am I trying to honor and glorify God in everything that I do?